Hey guys, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sydney.
And this is Tales of the Wicked. Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Tales of the Wicked. Sid, how are you?
I'm doing fabulous. And that's all that I have to say.
I was gonna say, is that a sarcasm I'm sensing?
Yes, it is. It literally has been the same shade of gray outside all week. I don't even know what sunshine looks like anymore.
I know. We had that little teaser of spring last week.
Yeah, and then now it's just been rain and cold and gray. I don't live in Seattle. I live in Ohio.
And don't worry, the forecast is not looking any better.
No, it's not. It's actually supposed to, like, snow on Saturday, I think.
Super.
Super. Having a great time. And every time you go to the store, it's just nothing but spring stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, summer, spring, warm weather, pastel colors, Easter bunnies. No, that's not what it's like outside.
I would know.
False advertisement.
I don't really go to the store.
I just walk around Target for fun sometimes.
You know, I would if Target wasn't 4 hours away.
That is true. 4 hours is a little dramatic, but that is true. It's not close to you.
It doesn't feel that dramatic. I mean,
it doesn't.
It feels pretty far.
Oh, okay.
Four hours seems about right.
Okay, all right. Well, how are you, Megan, and your dramatic self?
You know, I'm grumpy this week.
Why are you grumpy?
Because it takes 4 hours for me to get a goddamn cup of coffee.
Oh my gosh.
And it's not even good coffee. It's Dunkin'. I had to settle because the Starbucks is even further.
Dunkin' is the actual worst.
It's okay.
Is it though?
If you can find one drink that you like, it is okay.
The one drink that I like at Dunkin' is their iced tea. And that's because it's like $2 for a large, and you can't really mess up iced tea.
Oh, you can.
And how do you do that?
Put too much sugar in it?
What? Well, I don't get mine sweetened. I get mine unsweetened.
Oh, that's another way too.
With a little lemon in it. You just squeeze the lemon, mix it in, give it a little shake. Perfecto.
It's okay. Everyone's allowed to have their own wrong opinion sometimes.
Yeah, whatever. Actually, you can mess up tea, by the way.
I've literally burnt tea before.
I had this coworker at Starbucks that when he would make, because you have to brew the tea in the morning, he literally would just like put so much extra water in it, it wouldn't taste like anything. And I'd be like, Christian, what are you doing? That's not how you make tea. Get it together. People were spending
to fuck up tea.
Yeah, people are spending $12 for a small tea at Starbucks. At least make it taste like tea.
Yeah, Jesus.
Jesus Christ. How'd you burn tea? Can we go back to that?
I left it on the stove too long.
So, like, did the tea? You don't put the tea bags in until after the water's hot.
Yeah, you do when you're putting on the stove.
How do you make tea, Megan?
I'm just kidding.
How do you know you're not? I know you're not. How do you make, what do you do to your tea? Do you put your tea bags
you
in a pot?
Put me on the spot and I'm stressed.
Okay. Well, the way that I make my tea is
no,
you.
Hold on. I know. The way you make tea is you boil your water, and then when you're done boiling it, you turn off the heat, and then you let the tea bag simmer in the pot.
It's steep, not simmer. That was the biggest eye roll I've ever seen in my life.
It was so big, my eyes are stuck.
They're stuck staring at the back of your head.
Oh my god.
That's
whatever.
Funny. So you burnt your tea.
You have to let the tea steep.
Isn't That's exactly where. It's not. It doesn't simmer. It steeps. I am correct and you are wrong.
Whatever.
That's funny. Well, so you're having a bad week. You burnt some tea.
I didn't burn it this week. I bought my tea this week.
Oh, good, good. Anything else?
Speaking of how much of a bitch you're being right now. I have a present for you.
Oh, you do? What is it?
So back around Christmas, you're not going to remember this, but back around Christmas time, I picked up something from my family's reindeer games. And I was like, oh, I picked this up. I don't really want this. Do you want it? And you're like, yeah, sure. And it was a book about infusing a bunch of different like oils and just a bunch of drinks and like how to make your own whatever. And
I that was a great description that you just gave.
I set it out to give it to you. And then somehow I got knocked off my counter and in between the cabinet and the wall. And then I went to go grab something. And I looked, I'm like, huh, there's a book. The book's not supposed to be there. I picked it up, like, oh, I was supposed to give this to Sydney 3 months ago.
This is a book I was supposed to give to a bitch. Oh, Sydney needs this book.
She needs a good slap over the head with it.
Oh, gosh. Whatever. So, I just keep staring at your face, and you just have your lips pressed together, like,
I know, you can finally see me. Normally, your webcam's not working, so I can make whatever face I want at you, but this time I'm getting called out.
Yeah, I am. I am. You are. And this is great. I'm having a great time.
Can you see all my chin hairs?
Yes, I can. Gosh, Megan.
It's like a fucking forest down there.
So, I was talking to John, and I had this theory. So, the two of us went and saw Batman together, and then John went to go see Batman with me, and whatever, it doesn't matter. We went to go see Batman, and we were talking about the movie, and I had this theory, and I wanted to run it by you to see what you thought.
Okay.
If anyone listening to the podcast has not seen the movie and wants to, skip forward. If you don't care, keep on listening, because it's going to spoil stuff. So in the movie, do you remember whenever it's the mayor's funeral and Robert Pattinson walks up to the Penguin and Falcone, and Falcone tells a story about how he respects his dad because he had to operate on him like right there on the dining room table. And he says, he was like, and this guy, pointing to Bruce Wayne, was up above looking down at me the whole time. And he was like, and you never forget a face like that. Mm-hmm. So do you remember that part?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then at the, well, the movie's 3 hours long, so I would like to say the end, but there's still like 5 hours after that. Towards the end of the movie, whenever Batman puts Falcone in the light and then the Riddler shoots and kills him. So at that point, you see, like, he shoots and kills him, and he's laying on the ground, and you see him, like, you see Batman's face, like, looking down at him, like, his eyes real wide, and, like, his mouth, like, kind of like, he's dying, and then Falcone's laying on the ground, and he's, like, looking up at him, and, like, his eyes get, like, they widen a little bit, and then he dies. Like, do you think that he realized that Batman was Bruce Wayne?
Maybe, but also...
Or is that too far-fetched?
I mean, maybe that's what they were going for. That's a good point. But in my mind, if I'm dying, the last thing I'm going to do is think about Batman.
Well, no, because Batman was literally over top of him looking at him. So it was like Bruce Wayne looking down at Falcone.
No, I guess that's probably what they were trying to do.
And, well, John said that this was too far-fetched. He was like, there's no way that that's what happened. But also, if you think about it, when Falcone's telling the story to Penguin, he's saying that he was shot and his dad operated on him on the table and Bruce Wayne was looking down at him. So I was like, okay, well, he's shot again and Bruce Wayne is looking down at him again, except for with a Batman mask on.
But here's my question.
Okay.
Does it fucking matter? The guy's dead. It's not like it's going to be a big thing in any other movie.
Whatever. You talk now. I have nothing else to add to this episode.
Oh, look, she clocked out even earlier than last time.
But I just like to try to pick up on little things in movies, and that is what I picked up on.
I think that you picked up on it, whether or not they meant to do it like that.
It doesn't matter. They're never going to tell me anyways.
It was a very obscure observation, but good job.
Thank you.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're
That's
welcome.
All that I needed from you. Was that you were proud of me.
So, speaking of movies.
Yes.
And Sydney being sensitive. We've been talking. And, okay, so you remember how we tried to do a golden hour? We did one episode, and then we just forgot about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the whole thing with golden hour was, my idea was like, oh, we'll have this bonus thing. It'll be so fun. I only had one idea for one episode. And then after that one episode, I'm like, oh, well, I'm out of ideas now.
Yeah.
So Sydney wanted to try to bring back golden hour. And we were thinking. And then I realized, well, her and I both really love movies. We talk about them all the time. So why don't we do a monthly episode where we each pick a movie, and it doesn't have to be like horror or true crime, whatever, just any movie. Yeah. So we'll, like, this month she's going to pick the first movie for, I almost said October, for April. And we will watch the movie and then have a bonus episode where we talk about it, dissect the movie, give our thoughts, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I love watching movies, and I could sit down and talk to people about movies and dissecting them all day. So if other people find that interesting, I mean, tag along.
What was that?
What was what?
That big sound.
Oh, you could hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was my neighbor on their motorcycle. Oh, motorcycle. Okay. It's cold out. Maybe it wasn't a motorcycle, but it sounded like one.
I don't know. Your neighbors are freaks.
Well, hey, my one neighbor, old neighbor, is in jail.
Oh, prison. That's the one who I was calling a freak. I forgot he was in jail.
Yeah, he doesn't live there anymore. He's in jail. Yeah.
By a loser.
Well, I mean, for all the listeners that don't know my old neighbor, he drugged and raped a girl and left her naked in a park.
So, that's what he did?
Oh, yeah, you didn't know that?
I don't think I heard the full story. I think that you just said he was an absolute creep and he was in jail.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he has always been a really big creep. He's always thrown, like, temper tantrums. Like, I have videos on my phone of me, like, peeking out of my window with my phone and him, like, running up and down the road, like, screaming at people. I have a video of him throwing stuff out of his house at another guy and, like, kicking his car. He would only be awake at night. Like, and he would pace around his yard and play loud music and stuff and just scream. But he met a girl on a dating app, and he drugged her, raped. He obviously claims that it's not true, but he met this girl on a dating app. He drugged her, raped her, and then left her naked in a park.
Oh my God.
And he is now in prison or jail. Good. I don't know which guy. One you go to for that kind of stuff. But yeah, that was my old neighbor. He's no longer here.
I
was going to
say something, but never mind.
No, I want to hear it.
No. So, okay. It wasn't even like a complete thought. There wouldn't have been any point in saying it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so.
Back to the movies?
Yeah.
Is that where you're trying to go? Okay. Yep. I'm like looking at your face trying to figure out what you're thinking. To the movies. So I have two different movies picked. I can read you, like the basic thing of what they're about, and then you can pick which one you want to watch.
Just tell me the titles. I want to go into this blind.
Okay. I know that you have, like, a deep-seated dislike for some actors and actresses, and I can't remember who they all are. And I feel That's like fine. The one movie – I feel like the one movie has one of those people in it.
You know what? If it's in the name of the podcast, I'll watch it anyways.
But well, I have two. And also, I found two movies that were, they're both fairly new, but they're both on Netflix, because I wanted to try it, so, like, neither one of us had to buy a movie to watch. I looked, like, specifically on Netflix. These are two movies that both of us have never seen. They sound really interesting. They sound cool. They're both thrillers.
Oh, cool.
Why are you smiling over there?
I have something to bring up after this, and I don't know how you're gonna feel about it.
Okay, all right. So the two movies I picked is Windfall or Unforgivable.
Windfall sounds cool.
So is that the one you're picking? Without knowing anything about it?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want me to tell you what it's about? Or are you just gonna?
No. I want to go in blind.
Okay. Can I tell you who the lead actress of Unforgivable is?
Yes.
It's not the one you picked, so. Do you like Sandra Bullock?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, she was the lead actress for that movie, and I couldn't remember if you liked her or not.
There's really only, like, one actor that I really cringe every time I watch, and that's Ryan Reynolds. He's, like, the only one that, like, it physically hurts me to watch him. Any other one, like, even if they're annoying, I'm fine with it. Because, like, there's some people who I don't like, but I like them in certain movies.
Movies, okay.
Yeah.
I do think, I think that you'll like this Windfall movie, because we were just talking about How I Met Your Mother and how you really liked that show, and that's what I'm watching right now. How do you pronounce his last name? Jason Segel? Is that how you say it? He's one of the main actors in the movie.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah. So
cool.
It's supposed to be a thriller-ish type movie. It looks really cool. So that's the movie that we'll be watching for April. Now tell me what you're going to say, because I still see you over there laughing and smiling.
Okay, so I thought of something fun that we could do with this. Like, for your birth month, you can pick the movie no matter what it is. Even if you know it's a movie I've already seen and I hate. Because you got to think, like, it'll be a funny review if I dislike a movie. But
so,
you can pick any movie you want for your birth month.
So are you going to make me watch Joe Dirt in September?
I am.
I knew it. Oh, God.
I am.
Hey, it's your birth month. You get to pick.
And we can watch it on vacation because I have the DVD.
Oh, great. I can't wait.
Okay, you know what? I will give you a choice between...
That's the movie you want. That is the movie we are going to watch.
Well, there's another one that I really love.
Okay.
That you could choose between.
Okay.
I mean, we don't have to pick now because it's September so far away. But you'll have to choose between Joe Dirt or Wild Hogs.
I've seen Wild Hogs.
I love that movie so much.
Isn't... No, I think he's in Hot Rod. Is Andy Samberg in Wild Hogs?
No.
He isn't. He's in Hot Rod. I would say I love Andy Samberg.
I don't know that I've seen him in anything, really.
You haven't?
Not that I can think of.
Oh. He's funny. He's a good one.
You'll have to text me Windfall so I don't forget, because I will.
Yes, I will send it to you. And then we can watch it at some point in April and have a bonus episode on it.
All right, cool. So I'm thinking at the beginning of, or like, so at the end of, so we're in the end of March. We're picking the movie for April. We have all of April to watch it. And then we'll pick a certain day to release that episode. And then after we're done watching that movie, we'll announce the next movie. So like at the end of every movie episode, we'll announce the next one that we're gonna watch.
Cool. All right. Like it.
Sounds good.
Nice.
One other thing I wanted to mention really quick. So you remember my cousin Emily, right?
Oh, the one that like eats chicken bones and stuff?
Yeah, that one.
Oh yeah, okay, her.
She was texting me about the podcast the other day. She was like, yeah, like I was listening to like your recent episodes and you know, like your banter kind of bothers me sometimes because Sydney will ask you like a personal question about yourself and you hesitate. She's like, I know the answers to those questions, but I can't like answer them for you because it's already pre-recorded. She was going back about like the iPod conversation we had. She's like, Megan, you had this type of iPod. I'm like, no, I didn't. I know what I had.
Oh, that's funny. Well, yeah, does she when she listens to our podcast?
Exclusively.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her and her dog Linda listen to the podcast together.
I like that. What kind of dog is this?
I don't know.
I don't know what kind of dog she has.
I think she's mixed. I don't know what breed she is. I think they just got her at a shelter.
Aw. Those are the cutest ones. She's a mutt.
I like Linda. I know, I do too.
Wait, her name's Linda?
Yeah.
I thought you said Glenda.
No, Linda.
Linda. Like, I don't think you watch the show. Bob's Burgers? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that who she's named after?
Probably.
Oh, You don't
actually
know. I used
to watch that show so much that Aaron had to put a ban on it in the house because he hated it.
Why? It's so funny.
He can't stand it. So I would watch it all the time. And he's like, don't, you're not watching this in the house anymore. So then I stopped watching it. But
I actually just started watching the last season that came out.
It's all right. I found a new show to love. I've been really into Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That's on my list. So I'm doing How I Met Your Mother right now. And then Always Sunny is, I don't know if it's next, but Destin is obsessed with that show. And when I was at her house one day, she was playing it. And I was like, oh, wow, this is like really funny.
Yeah, I love it. It's super funny.
Very cool.
All right. Did you have anything else to talk about before we get into today's case?
No, I'm good.
All right. So I know last week you did more of like a conversation piece than like a topic or like a case.
Yeah.
And I had said that I planned to do like more of like a history thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't happen. Okay. I was really uninspired this week. I don't know. I feel like I've been in a weird rut lately where like I opened like 4 different pages of different things I could have talked about. And I couldn't read any of it. I was like, I don't care this week.
That's how I was last week. I literally was like, I don't want to open up my laptop. I don't want to look up anything. I do not care. I'm over it.
Yeah. Nothing was inspiring me this week.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because I've been really distracted with sweet baby P turning 1 yesterday.
1 year old. Yeah.
He has his birthday party this weekend. So I was stressing about that. But then I opened up my Google Docs page and I realized I started writing notes when we were in Vegas for that episode I wanted to do.
Right.
So I just continued on with that one. So today we are going to be talking about Michael Malloy.
Okay.
Have you heard about him?
Nope.
Okay. But before we get into this, we are actually going to take a quick break for our first ad break.
Yay!
I know. Finally have an ad. So yeah, we're going to break for an ad and then we will get back into it.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Mike Malloy. He is also known as Iron Mike and Mike the Durable.
He probably wasn't that durable if he's dead.
You'll see.
Okay.
Michael Malloy was born in 1873. He was a firefighter and an Irishman living in New York City during like the 1920s, 1930s. Basically, nothing else is known about his life in the earlier years. But during this time, he had become the 20s-ish, he had fallen on some really tough times. He became an alcoholic and he was homeless. So we're off to a really good start.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like all the other cases that you read me.
Oh, no, we like Michael Malloy.
Oh, okay, cool.
He's the hero of the story.
Oh, he is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
He frequented the speakeasy owned by Tony Marino or Moran. Yeah, it'd be Marino. He had a long-running tab at this bar, and he had no means or no intent on ever paying it. What he would do is, like, do odd jobs around, like, the bar and just, like, around town and kind of get some, like, pocket money and then maybe, like, go get a beer once in a while. But for the most part, he didn't ever pay his tab.
Yeah.
The owners of this establishment knew that he would never pay and then decided it was bad for business, so they decided to take care of this problem. Marino's friend, Francis Pasqua, who was 24, he worked as an undertaker. He saw drunken Malloy as a new opportunity for money. Everyone knew that Malloy was unemployed, didn't have a family, like no one knew anything about him. So he seemed like the perfect victim. Pasqua suggested to Marino that he would take a life insurance policy out on Malloy and Pasqua would finish the job from there. And with the knowledge that Malloy was alone, they could collect the money and no one would find out. Like, he didn't have any family to ask questions, you know, no one else was gonna try to fight for the money from that policy.
Right.
So it was easy street from. Although Marino was hesitant in the beginning, he was soon on board. He was no stranger to this type of scheme. Just the year before, he had pulled off a very similar plot when he conned a homeless woman named Maybelle Carson. He, quote-unquote, befriended her and then was able to talk her into taking out a life insurance policy and name him as the beneficiary. The policy she took out was $2,000 then, which now is estimated to be around $28,000. He got her drunk, took off her clothes, soaked her sheets and mattress in water, and laid her down to sleep under an open window, like in the winter time, to expose her to the freezing air. Her cause of death was declared as bronchial pneumonia. I almost said meningitis. Marina was able to collect the money and move on.
What? This poor homeless woman.
I know.
Oh. How? I mean, also, can we just like take a minute to think about like how lonely she probably was, the fact that, like, she made a friend and he was like, just name me your beneficiary for your life policy. Sure.
I know. She was probably so excited just to have a friend.
Yeah, and then he killed her.
They also recruited the 29-year-old grocer Daniel Kreisberg, or Chrisberg. I don't know. We're going to go with Kreisberg.
Okay, I like that.
These guys are pieces of shit, so I don't care if I pronounce their name right.
Okay.
He said he would help them for a cut so he could help support his family. He was a young father with three young children. So now with the added recruitment of Daniel Kreisberg, the schemer squad assembled and they were ready to get started. And that's the little name I gave them.
The schemer squad?
Yeah. Okay, so I got all of my information from one website. So I'm going to quote them a couple times and then I'll credit them at the end.
Okay.
Quote, Pasqua offered to do the legwork, paying an unnamed acquaintance to accompany him to meetings with insurance agents. His acquaintance called himself Nicholas Mellery and gave his occupation as florist, a detail that Pasqua's colleagues in the funeral business was willing to verify. It took Pasqua 5 months and a connection with an unscrupulous agent to secure three policies, all offering double indemnity on Nicholas Mellery's life. I kept wanting to say Michael because we're talking about Michael Malloy.
Yeah.
Two with Prudential Life Insurance Company, one with Metropolitan Life Insurance Company. Pasquale recruited Joseph Murphy, a bartender at Marino's, to identify the deceased as Michael Malloy and claim him to be his next of kin and beneficiary. If all went as planned, Pasqua and his cohorts would split $3,576, which is about $54,000 in today's dollars. After Michael Malloy died as uneventfully and anonymously as he had lived. End quote. From SmithsonianMag.com.
Thank you, SmithsonianMag.com.
That's the plan. So they're going to hire this guy and make him look dead. Hold on.
Okay.
So I see. He is hiring his friend Nicholas Mellery to come with him to all the insurance meetings to like get the policies taken out. And then they're going to say like, oh, like I'm his next of kin. I'm his beneficiary. He's a florist, blah, blah, blah. And then they are going to take all of these policies out on Mellery. And I think their plan is to say that he's Michael Malloy and then kill Michael Malloy and be like, oh, here's the body. He died. Let me get all the money. But only Michael Malloy has to die.
You know, this is a lot of work for some money. Why don't you just...
No, I think we're just too stupid to understand.
Sure. We're also we're not going to be talked about in a true crime podcast, so really, who's the real winner here?
I mean, if we get killed.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. All right, continue.
Well, yeah, that's the plan. Anyways. They gathered up a few more recruits, John McNally, Edward Tin Ear Smith. Though he had an artificial ear, it was actually made of wax, not tin.
Tin Ear Smith.
Tough Tony Bastone, and lastly, Joseph Magaline. They were all known to be petty criminals and regulars at the bar, so that's how they all got involved. The press refers to them as the quote-unquote murder trust, but I like Scheme Squad better, so that's what we're calling them.
That's good. We can go with that.
In December 1932, they all met and devised their plan to kill Malloy. So to start off their plan, Marino told Malloy that he could give him a permanent open tab due to, quote, competition from other saloons that had forced him to ease the rules, end quote. Which, that doesn't make any sense to me. So you think there's competition between all the saloons. Wouldn't they be in competition to make money, not to give away free alcohol to a known drunk?
I mean, he's a drunk. You're telling him he's getting free alcohol, so he'll believe it.
My next sentence is, that doesn't make sense to me, but luckily he's telling all of this to a drunk with a never-ending, he's telling this to a drunk with a never-ending tab, so to begin with, he's not going to question anything.
Exactly! He's getting free alcohol, he doesn't care.
I don't know, I still think it's fucking stupid. Anyways, Malloy was thoroughly...
stupid to kill someone, but what do I know?
Well, yeah, that too. Malloy was thoroughly enjoying his new perk and began to throw down shots, shot after shot. So much so that he was starting to wear out Marino's shot-pouring arm, and then he slumped his way out of the bar for the night. Malloy did this for 3 days straight, supposedly only stopping long enough to eat a sardine sandwich, and that, like, makes me want to vomit.
A sardine sandwich.
Well, think about it. He is drinking nothing but shots of whiskey and gin for 3 straight days and only eating sardine sandwiches.
Yeah, I mean, that's the life.
That's foul. I can't even imagine drinking for 3 straight days alone.
Whiskey and gin for 3 straight days? I don't know what's worse, the whiskey and the gin or the sardine sandwich?
It's all bad.
If you put those three things in front of me and said, Sydney, pick one, I might have to go with the sardine sandwich.
I don't know what I would... I really don't. Like, this question's stressing me out because they all sound so disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, whiskey makes me literally want to throw up because it has made me throw up. Gin just tastes like pine cones, so that sounds terrible. And sardines, you know, I've never had them, but it's just fish.
Aren't they salty, though?
Yeah, but I can shovel down some salty fish.
But, I mean, you're eating a whole sandwich compared to a shot.
That is true.
I think I would have to go with a shot of gin.
You would pick gin over whiskey?
I think so.
Have you ever done a shot of gin?
No, I've also never done a shot of whiskey.
Oh. Whiskey's better out of the two.
What's the closest to vodka?
Neither.
Oh.
They're very different.
Either way, I'm never going to be in this situation, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. Continue.
I'm trying.
Okay.
The Scheme Squad was pretty surprised on how well he was holding all of this liquor. They were hoping he would take a deadly fall or choke on his own vomit. But alas, he came back with a chipper attitude, quote, boy, ain't I got a thirst? Tough Tony in particular was not in for the long game, and he suggested that they shoot Malloy in the head. However, they needed him to die of natural causes. Not sure if he knew that that would be hard to claim as a natural cause, because, you know, there's a bullet hole in your fucking head.
Yep.
Tough Tony. Come on, get it together. The rest of the gang decided that they would shut that shit down and step things up a little bit. So that way they could speed up their plan, make sure it happens, but make sure it happens the right way. They would change out Malloy's drink of choice, which was whiskey and gin, with something a little bit spicier. Do you want to guess what that little spicier thing is?
Tostino's vodka.
No.
Oh, what is it?
Wood alcohol.
Wood alcohol?
Which is, quote, a type of alcohol used to make antifreeze, pesticides, windshield wiper fluid, paint thinner, certain types of fuel, and other substances. Wood alcohol catches fire easily and is very poisonous. It is one of the many harmful chemicals found in tobacco smoke. They also call it methanol, or methyl, alcohol, and that's all according to cancer.gov.
But, I mean, I'm assuming you can't just go buy this stuff on the street. I mean, maybe you could then, but you can't now. I've never even heard of it.
Well, they could then. Or they might have had hookups.
Oh my god, well they are all about, you know, taking people's money and killing them.
So this is just the beginning. You just gotta hold on.
Okay, I'm just... Alright, keep going.
According to my source, a drink containing only 4% of wood alcohol could cause blindness. These guys weren't just giving him shots of, like, something else that had a little bit of wood alcohol in it. They were giving him straight-up shots of just wood alcohol.
What?
Their plan was to get him nice and toasty with some whiskey, and then...
Nice and toasty?
With some whiskey.
Oh, okay, okay.
And then switch the shots out on him, and he wouldn't even notice at that point because he was already too drunk from the whiskey.
Yeah, he'll notice when he's dead.
They would all, like, gather around, like, a doorway or something to make sure that they were watching him drink these shots, but, like, not trying to be too obvious about it, I guess. A few nights went by, and this became their new routine. He didn't seem to be fazed by the alarming amounts of poison he was drinking every night. Until one night, now I give them a new nickname. Until one night, the scummy squad got what they had been wanting. He collapsed, had labored breathing, and looked like he was ready for his old dirt nap. Pasquale was listening to his breathing, checking for a pulse, and he was slowing down. They were just waiting it out now, you know, it's just a waiting game. Just gotta wait for him to die.
So he didn't just take, like, one shot of wood alcohol and...
It was days, like, of him drinking nothing but wood alcohol and whiskey.
Oh my gosh, this poor man.
When all of a sudden, Mike the Mighty, which is a new name I gave him, unless someone else called him that first, and I don't know, I just didn't look it up. But I'm going to claim that I called him Mike the Mighty first. He arose and said, quote, "Give me some of their old regular, my lad." Between all the whiskey, wood alcohol, and paying for the monthly life insurance policy payments, the guys were worried that they were spending more than they were going to be making. So they devised a new plan. After a little back and forth, they came up with a new idea to contaminate the oysters he was eating. They would soak the food in dentured alcohol, which, according to Wikipedia, dentured alcohol is ethanol that has additives to make it poisonous, bad-tasting, foul-smelling, or nauseating to discourage its recreational consumption. It sometimes dyed so that way it can be identified visually. So he'll be eating the poisoned oysters and washing them down with the poisonous wood alcohol. That's gotta kill him, right?
You're gonna tell me no.
Well, old Mike the Mighty gave them some finger licks and complimented the chef with a belch and bid them adieu.
What?
They started to reach...
Doesn't die. They don't
call him Iron Mike for nothing. They started to reach a new low point where this kill was just becoming more personal than anything else. Murphy decided that he would serve up a sandwich that was certain to kill him. It contained rotten sardines and shrapnel.
Oh my gosh.
Anyone would think that this concoction would tear up the insides of any sad sucker who ate it. But not Mike.
He's
Mighty
got a
Mike.
Gut of steel.
He once again gave his compliments to the chef and asked for another. This left them desperately going back to the drawing board and deciding that they needed to go to the more obvious solution. Because I don't know if you remember back at the beginning, Marino froze Maybelle to death once and he could do it again. So
not this guy, though.
So Marino and Pasqua drove drunken Malloy to Crotona Park, which is some park in New York, I don't know. They stripped him, soaked him with water, and left him out in the snow to freeze. And this is, like, January in New York.
It's cold in New York, yeah.
And he's naked and soaking wet and outside.
And has multiple poisons in his body.
And shrapnel in his intestines.
Holy smokes.
The next day, they all came to the bar, and they found him in the basement. He trotted his happy ass half an hour in the freezing night to the bar and convinced Murphy to let him in.
No fucking way.
All he had to say was that he had a, quote, wee chill.
You're kidding me. You have a picture of this man, right?
I'm gonna look to see if there is one. I love this man. I told you he's our hero in this story.
He's not gonna die, right? Please tell me he doesn't die. They'll get him. They're gonna get him. But he's fighting and he doesn't even know it.
At their breaking point, they decided to run him over with a car.
That's not natural causes.
They involved a cab driver named Harry Green, who was getting a cut of $150, which in my mind is not enough money to kill a stranger, but I mean, everyone has their price, so.
$150?
Which I also don't know what that would convert to today, but at this point, like, there's nothing left of the insurance money. They've involved everyone in New York and spent just all their money on poison.
Just to try to kill this one poor man. He's just a drunk. He's just trying to be happy, licking his fingers and eating his sardines.
I know. He's just in there, like, vibing every night, drinking, and they're just trying to kill him, and it's just not working.
Oh my gosh.
So the plan was that everyone besides Bastone and Murphy would pile into the cab, which at this point, I'm picturing like a clown car situation.
Yes, yeah.
Like a tiny little cab and like 1,000 people.
Uh-huh.
Those two stayed back so they could hold Malloy in the streets so that way the cab could have a guaranteed clear shot at him. The cab drove around for a little bit, and then when everything was set in place, they started to go down the street. So the cab driver, Green, started to put the pedal to the metal, and he saw a flash of light, so he halted to a stop. Because he, like, thought, like, something was going to get in the way or someone was catching him. But then he noticed that it was just someone out, like, a woman. Because I'm picturing this is, like a back alley, like, residential area. Mm-hmm. So he noticed it was a woman just in her apartment turning on her light. So then the plan was back in place. They decide to, you know, run him over again. And at the last second, Malloy jumps out of the way. They give it a second go. He again jumps out of the way, which honestly is really impressive to me, considering for the past 2 months, he's been only eating poison.
Yeah. And
shards of metal.
So he's still not dead. Oh, you said you started to say unfortunately. They got him, didn't they?
Unfortunately for Mike, a third time's a charm. Going around 50 miles per hour, they hit him that third time. And then
he jumps up and says, that was fun.
Make sure that the job got done. They backed over him because they couldn't afford another fuck up. Quote, it fell to Joseph Murphy, who had been cast as Nicholas Melroy's brother, to call the morgues and hospitals in an attempt to locate his quote unquote missing sibling. No one had any information, nor were there any reports of a fatal accident in the papers. 5 days later, as Pasqua plotted to kill another anonymous drunk, any anonymous drunk, and pass him off as Nicholas Mellory, the door to Marino's speakeasy swung open and in limped the battered, bandaged Michael Malloy, looking only slightly worse than usual.
Stop it.
His greeting, quote, I'm sure dying for a drink. What a story he had to tell. What he could remember of it anyway. He recalled the taste of whiskey, the slap of the night air, and the glaring of rushing lights, then blackness. Next thing he knew, he woke up in a warm bed at the Fordham Hospital and only wanted to get back to the bar. That son of a bitch made it.
This isn't a real story, is it?
Yeah, it is.
So how does everyone know all this? There has to be,
there's like reports on it. There has to be the hospital record of him going to the hospital.
They didn't freak out and say, hey, someone's trying to kill you. You have poison inside of you.
Just you wait, honey.
Oh my goodness. This might be my favorite story you've ever told.
I think that I knew that you needed this. See, this is the one I wanted to tell in Vegas because I thought it'd be fun if we drank I told this story.
Yes. This is amazing.
He was not ready to go down, and I really love his dedication to invincibility and to the drink because he's surviving to go get more whiskey.
Oh, this is amazing.
But, sadly, all great things must come to an end, and the scheme squad finally became successful after 7 months of being absolute failures. On February 21st, 1933, Michael Malloy died in a tenement house, which is just like basically like group homes for adults. They put a tube in his mouth, sealed it with a tightly wound towel around his head so it wouldn't fall out, and then the tube ran out a window attached to a light fixture, a gas light fixture. Pasqua's friend, Dr. Frank Manzella, wrote a false death report labeling his death as lobar pneumonia. They only received $800 in the end instead of the $3,000 they were supposed to. It was reported that Marino and Murphy spent their reward on a new suit. They did all of this just to buy
a suit?
A fucking suit.
You're kidding.
Pasquale had taken out two other policies and he went to Prudential office to collect his money, but they threw him a curveball and they asked to see the body. Luckily for him, he thought on his feet and told them that the body was already buried. Unlucky for him, this resulted in an investigation. As it usually happens, everyone starts talking and, you know, like, everyone was blaming this guy for this and blaming this guy for that. So they were all under investigation at that point, and they all received charges. The scheme squad, which includes Tony Marino, Frank Pasqua, Daniel Kreisberg, and Joseph Murphy, were all charged with first-degree murder. They were put to death in the electric chair in Sing Sing, which is a prison in New York, and I don't know if you remember, because this is the one episode you weren't in, but Albert Fish was also put to death in the electric chair in Sing Sing.
Oh, okay.
And then I just wanted to close this out with a quote from a reporter. Quote, "Perhaps the grinning ghost of Michael Malloy was present in the Bronx County Courthouse." End quote. So I wanted us to take a cheers to old Mike the Mighty.
I was gonna say, I'm about to go get a bottle of whiskey from John's office and take a sip for him.
I know.
What the heck?
Yeah,
and because
Mike Malloy.
Wow. And because I just had to know what this man looked like, I Googled it, and they don't have a picture of, or at least I couldn't find one, a picture of him, but they have a picture of his dead body, which is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And like a picture of the Tony Maroney and Pascal guy, Francis Pascal. Mm-hmm. Wow.
But yeah, that's the unbelievable tale of Michael Malloy.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
I'm all about it. That was my favorite one. I just can't believe that.
I know. The first time I heard the story, I'm like, what the fuck?
I was going to say, how did you even hear about this?
Three of my favorite podcasts have all covered it before.
I mean, like, this is just... The man
it's
survived...
It's one of my favorites. I know. He survived everything.
That was a good one. That I'm all about that.
You feel better now?
Yes, I feel so much better. I am refreshed. I am happy. I feel terrible for my man, my durable man. He couldn't.
Hey, I mean, he really stuck it to him. He really, like, pissed him off.
I just don't even. And in the end, they bought a suit and they still got the electric chair.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
This poor guy was just trying to live his life.
He just wanted a drink.
He just wanted to live by a bottle of whiskey.
And a sardine sandwich.
I need to, like, look up what a sardine sandwich. Do you think it's just two pieces of, like, white bread and some sardines?
Yeah, probably. What do you think? They're going to slap some mozzarella cheese on there?
Oh, it mozzarella cheese. It looks like a tuna sandwich, essentially. Like, you know how, like, you mix the tuna in with, like, mayonnaise and stuff? It looks the same.
Okay, that sounds a little bit better, then.
Yeah, I feel like, I still think that I would choose that over the whiskey and the gin.
If it was made that way, then yeah.
When you originally described it, I just pictured, like, cracking open a can of sardines and flapping some wet sardines on a piece of bread and just going, and eating it.
Did you also picture them as like a whole fish just sitting
yes.
on bread?
Yes.
That's like, how I pictured it. I'm like, that's foul.
I was picturing like the tail, the fins, the eyeball, just like.
That's exactly what I was picturing too. That's why I was so grossed out.
I also just want to note that even when I pictured it that way, I still said I would do that over whiskey and gin.
Oh, you're gross.
I've never actually had a sardine. Have you ever had one?
No. I don't want to.
Hey, you can't knock it till you try it.
I mean, I haven't tried cocaine, but I feel like I could confidently say that I wouldn't like that either.
I guess I could agree with that. That was a strong... Sardines and cocaine are very different.
Well, some people live and die for the sardines. Some people live and die for the cocaine. I feel like it's all the same to some people.
Oh my gosh. You know, I'm going to be thinking about this story for a while.
I've been thinking about this story for like a month. Because I was writing this at first when we were in Vegas.
This is so good.
Yeah, I love this one. I love this story.
Dang. Well, I hope everyone enjoys it too. Or they enjoyed as much as we did.
And I said something to Sid about this off air, but we are looking at the... we're looking to see if our old catchphrase or whatever the fuck we called it, a tagline, was trademarked. Because if it's not, I feel like it's safe to say that we can say it again because no one could legally come after us, which was our main concern.
Yeah, we're just going to keep using it if we can.
So there is potential we may want you guys to keep it creepy.
We always Maybe. Do.
Just a little bit. We'll get back to you on that one. Maybe next week we'll have an answer for you.
Yeah. That would be, it just feels right. It feels so natural in my heart.
It does. I know.
I just listen to the end of our episodes and we say bye and I just, ugh, it hits me some type of way and it's not a good way.
Feels like we've been missing something.
Yeah. No one enjoys us anymore.
That's okay. All right, Sid. Well, that's all I have for you today. I'm excited for next week when you have another tale to tell me. Also, I thought about, you know how I like to name everything?
Yes.
We need to come up with a name for the movie episodes.
Oh, shoot.
We'll come up with something. We have a month to come up with
it. We have a month. We got a while to think of something.
I already have one in mind, but I'll text you about it.
Okay, don't say it now. Don't let them know.
All right, guys. Well, we will talk to you again next week. And in the meantime, please share, rate, review, anything like that that you can. It really helps us out. Follow us on Spotify. Those numbers help us out a lot.
Are you waiting for me to add to something?
Yeah.
Sorry.
We always take turns.
We do take turns, but you said something and it doesn't matter. But yes, we enjoy having you guys here and we Megan, stop staring. Are you actually looking at me now?
My notes are away.
Okay. But in all seriousness, we do really appreciate having you guys here. It means a lot to us. You know, we had our little, you know, our first ad break about Anchor, and that's, you know, kind of really big for us. It's just kind of cool. Megan started this podcast and had this idea almost a year ago, I would say.
I started getting everything ready in September of last year. And my first episode came out beginning of November.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and then she, you know, asked me to join in, and it's just been a really cool, fun thing that we've been able to do together. We have a ton of fun doing it, and I hope you guys have a lot of fun listening to it. And if you do, like we always say, of course, share it with your friends. And like Megan said earlier, we really do appreciate having you guys here. So, and like we say every week, if you guys have any cases or anything that you would like to listen to or have us cover, don't be afraid to send us those. You can send it to, we have our email, we have our Instagram, we're always available. But that's all that we have for you this week.
Yeah, and if you guys are as excited about the movie episodes as we are, and you have any movie suggestions, we would love to hear those too. So
absolutely. There isn't a movie that, I mean, I don't necessarily care for horror movies, but I have been watching them. I mean, there isn't really a movie that we will turn away. Anything that you want us to watch, we will watch.
Unless it's something we both really don't want to watch, and then we will pretend that we did not get your email.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, guys. Well, everyone. We'll see you next week for Sid's episode.
Yep. We'll be back next week.
All right. Bye.
See you.